Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, yeah, I'm looking for some good internet content to watch. Got any YouTube video recommendations?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Technorama. I'm Craig Stepp, and Chuck Tomasi is not with us tonight. Oh, for shame. That's all right, because I don't mind flying solo every once in a while, especially when it comes to these interviews. And tonight, we have a special interview with a couple of guys that run the show written by a kid over on the Geek & Sundry YouTube channel. It's a lot of fun, and the title's kind of self-explanatory. The whole thing's written by a kid, but it's acted by adults that act out the story, and it's always a lot of fun. I am happy to have with me tonight is Will Bowles and Josh Flam. I knew I was going to mess it up.
You can. It's all right. We can say it however you like.
I like to say flume, so flume. That's fine, too.
I've heard every sort of kind of pronunciation. There is, you know, it's a flam, flim,
yeah.
Flam. Flam, well, is correct.
Well, but if you look at my name, it's Craig with a K. So, everybody chops it up. So, anyway, I want y'all to tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves. Will, you want to start?
Sure, yeah. My name is Will Bowles, and I'm an actor, writer, and now a producer and creator of Written by a Kid.
And I am Josh Flam, correct pronunciation.
See,
I'll start again here. I can't even speak English, so don't worry about not pronouncing my name right.
Okay,
here, I'll start again. My name is Josh Flam, and I'm a writer here in Hollywood, California. And I also am a producer and creator of Written by a Kid.
Oh, very cool.
Our web series.
Yeah, your web series. So, tell me a little bit about how you two got together.
Josh and I met in Orlando, Florida at an improv theater in Orlando called SAC. That's SAK. Mm-hmm. And we met in a beginning improv class, I think.
That's right. Right?
And so we both played on stage there at SAC, but then eventually we formed an improv and sketch group with three other guys called Them. And we ended up performing around the Southeast, and also we did a tour of Canada for their fringe festivals. And then eventually Josh and I ended up out here, and we've been working together as a writing team. We've written a couple of screenplays, and then we've written a mountain of sketch comedy.
A mountain.
Yeah.
Have you been producing other stuff for YouTube or just this episode or show?
This was our first show. Now we are planning to do other things as well, but this was sort of how we got into the web business.
Mm-hmm. And we were very lucky to we met Kim Evey, one of the executive producers of the show and producing partner with Felicia Day for Geek & Sundry. We met her at a writing group here in L.A., and that's how we were able to go in and pitch to her for the idea.
So how did you come up with this concept? I mean, I guess it's a little self-explanatory, you know, written by a kid. But how did y'all come up with this, and kind of where did it come from?
You know, we had been throwing around ideas as to how to work with kids for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some earlier incarnations of an idea similar to this, I guess. But ultimately, we came to a sort of solidified thought that, you know, if we get 12 kids together into a writer's room, that would be hilarious. And then actors would have to do exactly what they write.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, actually putting that into practice, just the thought of it is right now so difficult to get 12 kids to work together to create one written piece.
Much less, professional writers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So it very quickly became just dealing with one kid at a time.
Well, explain to me where you get these kids from. Is there like a kid pool that y'all, you know, draw from? Kid agents or something? I don't.
Out here in LA, there are a lot of agencies that represent kids.
Okay.
But initially, we went to friends who had kids and asked, you know, if their kids could come in and tell us stories. And then down the line, we also had auditions. So we ended up with a group of kids. It was about 50-50. Half of them from the auditions and half were kids of friends.
So you had auditions?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay.
So do the kids come up with their own stories or how does that work? I saw where y'all were kind of not pushing them, but just kind of getting them going, I guess, a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. We that's the whole idea behind the show is that the kids come in and tell us a story on the spot, tell us a story off the top of their heads. And then we take that story, we give it off to directors and animators, and they create a piece from that story. So when we brought the kids in, that's what we asked them to do. And in the audition process as well, we were looking for kids who could come in and tell us a story off the top of their heads.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so they come in and I don't know, you probably end up spending a couple hours talking to them, I guess.
Well, actually, we only, in the actual filming process, the interview process, we only have 1 hour with each kid. That's all we get.
So we
really do have to get to it quickly, and we learned a few tricks. You know, first of all, we only generally picked kids that were really comfortable, you know, comfortable with us, comfortable in front of the camera, and engaging enough to just tell some strangers a made-up story. That was all really important, more so than picking a very polished actory kid or picking a really cute kid.
Yeah.
You know, it was very important to us that they were actually comfortable, first and foremost. And then our job really was to see what they wanted to tell stories about. You know, we would ask questions that way, like, you know, what do you like to read about? What do you like to watch TV? What kind of shows do you like to watch? That sort of thing.
And when we did the actual auditions, they came in and we only had about, you know, 5 to 7 minutes with each kid. So it wasn't very long, you know?
Yeah. Well, I saw you wake up, you know, get that little girl out of her nap.
Yeah. Yeah. She was asleep for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, this kind of, just a note, you know, this kind of reminds me of, what was it, with, Bill Cosby, where he was talking to the kids, the kids
did the darndest things.
Yes. That's it. That's kind of what this reminded me of when y'all were sitting there talking to the kids, trying to, you know, kind of get their story going.
Absolutely. That's an important element, I think, in this show, because really it is all about the kids. We want to know what they say. You know, it's not about our interpretation ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest things too, and I, one of the reasons I liked Kids Say the Darndest Things, was that back in the 80s when that was on TV?
Probably like late 80s or something like that, maybe.
Late 80s, yeah. And also Art Linkletter had done it in the late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I liked about that concept when I first saw it was that they were treating the kids with respect. They were honoring them. Mm-hmm. They had to sit there and they just asked them questions and let them answer. And that was at the core of this too. We wanted to honor what these kids were telling us. We didn't want to manipulate it or push it in any direction. So that was important to us.
Yeah, you didn't look like you were making fun of them or anything like that either.
Oh, no. Yeah, there are a couple of times where I know personally I lost control and just had to couldn't stop laughing.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, it's not ideal, but it's also okay. Like, it's a funny story. It's making me laugh, but we definitely don't want to throw our own two cents in. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why don't you try this? Or like, you know, a giraffe can't throw a Frisbee. So why don't you pick an animal with hands?
That's right. Yeah, well, I imagine kids could smell that kind of stuff from a mile away and get tired of.
Yeah, whatever. It's amazing how good they are at taking control though and driving things. You know, once they understand that they can, they're like, okay, yeah, I'm really going to go for this.
Yeah.
You know,
once they have permission, it's all about permission. Once they realize that they're allowed to do this, that it's anything that they say, then they'll just go for it.
Yeah, that's a good point. So. Okay, so when you go to make the video, all right, I assume you already done the story, of course, because I see them lip syncing to what the kids say, verbatim what they're saying. How do you approach it where you're making the video exactly as they say?
Yeah, well, basically, the directors and animators had the edited down interview as the document that they were working from, so that's the blueprint for the whole piece. So and they had to follow that. They couldn't change it or they couldn't layer jokes on top of it that didn't make sense. It all had to come from the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it ends up that way, though, because I think all the directors and animators that we had do the show really did a great job of sticking to it.
Yeah, especially with the knight with the screws.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the wasp at the end with the poop and the, yeah. There's a lot of great things like that.
Well,
yeah.
Those are the details that are really important in this entire project. You know, like the screws on the leg and the ankle that blows fire and
mm-hmm.
that's the stuff that I think an adult would cut out in a minute. Be like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Or that's not an important detail. And for us, those are the details that work. That's what makes it a kid's story. If all of a sudden he's got a pet wasp in a cage, then let's go for it. He's got that.
Or like the knock-knock joke that Nora Lee told in Rainbow Town. You know, that's one of those jokes that kids always want to tell you a joke. And you're like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, tell me the joke. And they tell you it. It's a crazy joke, you know. But
yeah.
But they love it. They laugh. And then you laugh because they love it so much, you know?
Yeah.
And so those moments were like gold to us because that's what it's like when a kid is telling you a story, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. So, okay, now you mentioned you had, when you said directors, so you got different directors working on this as well, right?
Yes, it's an anthology show. That's how we like to look at it. And okay. So, like, each episode went to a different director or mm-hmm. animator. Each with their own specific talents. We wanted each episode to look very different so that it's more of a series of show pieces.
Yeah, well, I could totally get that. I like the robot one had a little different feel than the knight one. Knight one seemed a little more on the silly side than, they're both a little on the silly side, but you know what I'm saying? It had a different feel. Like, I look like I was looking at Logan's Run or something with the robots a little bit.
The director would actually be incredibly happy to hear that because that's what he was going for. We all got that too. It was definitely that Logan's Run feel, and it was very serious in parts. You know, that's the robots attacking the city.
Yeah.
He went for the sort of art house serious feel, and none of the other directors wanted to attempt that. That was his. That was specifically his vision for it.
Yeah, and it worked. Actually, I didn't get to finish it, but I did start looking at the director's cut. I ran across that one. For the robot one, and I was like,
yes.
Oh, this is kind of cool. And it had the music, and it had like the 60s look, and you know, the robots were upside down and turning, and I'm like, wow, this is kind of neat. So
It was great. It was great to have that extra director's cut out there. I think it's a nice compliment to the episode on the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he did a really excellent job. He's a really good filmmaker, and it's such a unique way to tell that story. He decided to embed our actual storyteller, Miley, in his director's cut.
Yeah.
She's a character in it, which I thought was really great. None of the other directors attempted that.
Yeah. So I was watching and went, wait a minute, she looks familiar. Oh, wait, that's the same girl.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Now, the other thing I thought was really cool is I saw you had put our savior, Josh Whedon, in there. And, of course, Dave Foley and some other people. Now, well, I say savior because he did it. Avengers, perfect. Anyway,
I totally get it.
I'm there with you, believe me.
So how did you get in, not just him, but the other well-known people to participate in this project?
That's mostly Felicia Day and some of Kim Eby. Felicia Day, of course, has worked with Joss Whedon in a number of projects, and, mm-hmm. and they are friends. And, you know, thankfully, he agreed to do it, and he did a really fantastic job. His was the first episode, so it aired at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, the people in that particular panel went crazy when they saw him. It was a real gift to have him in there, and he does such a great job. He does exactly what the story requires him to do.
Well, he's not only in there, but he's squatting the whole time.
Yeah.
No, he was a great sport about it, and he really Daniel Strange, the director of that episode, Scary Smash, and also the supervising producer on the show. He had only great things to say about Joss. He was like, he came in, he wanted to do all this stuff. He was really happy to do it.
He demanded to do the squatting. He says,
"Yeah,
wow.
I do all my own squatting. Those are my terms."
When we got to that, of course, I'm a huge Joss Whedon fan, and my son's like, "Who is that?" And I said, I told him, "This is the guy that directed the Avengers." He went, "Oh, really?" And then he all of a sudden got into it, and he thought it was funny.
Right.
Flying in the air with the sword, and yeah.
What's really funny is, of course, Joss Whedon is very, very exciting, and I'm a huge fan. However, with my sketch comedy background, I'm a much bigger fan of Dave Foley, who was one of my comedic heroes. For 15 years. And so the fact that he was in that episode, that is where I geeked out. That is where I was like,
yeah, I didn't want to not mention Dave, because I am a huge fan of Dave also. And I was like, it looks like Dave Foley. I didn't even look at the title. You know, I'm like, it looks like Dave Foley. What? He's a milkman.
Yeah. And he has such a great death scene. It's so wonderful. And it's so wonderfully Dave Foley, too. The way it unfolds is so great.
Yeah. So who else do you have coming up? Can you mention anybody? Any other names you got?
The one name we can mention is this Wednesday's episode. We're all excited about that one because if there are any Battlestar Galactica fans out there, it's Aaron Douglas who played Chief Galen, and that's one of my favorite shows ever.
Yeah.
So he's in that episode.
Yeah, I've met him at Dragon Con, I think it was. He was phenomenal. He's great.
He's a really good actor. Oh, very intense.
Yeah, he's great. And a really, really nice guy.
Mm-hmm. So have you thought about adding any famous kids? I don't know if there's... trying to think of some off the top of my head, but...
That's interesting, actually. That's not something we've even really talked about.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it. I would absolutely do it, especially if they were in that age range. We're really looking for kids ages 4 to 9, and even 9 is just slightly too old.
Sure.
But the thing is, we'd be open to any kid who can come in and tell us a good story. That's really the bottom line.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't matter where they come from. If they're into telling a story and they can come in and do it off the top of their head, we're excited by that whole idea.
Yeah. So. Well, it just came across my mind when I was putting these questions together. So have you had any kid give you a story that was like impossible to create, which I don't know how impossible it'd have to be, but.
Well, within the limitations of this show. Yes. I mean, like, you could always create the story somehow, but it doesn't mean that. I mean, it might be horrifying on a certain level.
It doesn't mean that you should.
Yeah.
We actually have a responsibility to not create some stories. It's not true.
But some of the stories were really heavy on bodily fluids and and also some of them just got a little crazy, you know? I mean, like, some kids come in and they just start building and creating worlds and characters and it's not that it wasn't cool. All the stories were great. It's just that it wasn't coherent enough to turn into an episode of written by a kid.
Right.
You know, all of these stories had really wonderful imagery. Every single kid brought to the table something amazing, and that is the truth. It's just, how do you get 4 minutes out of that? You know,
right.
We had imagery, like one of the main characters in one of the stories we couldn't use. He was a young Tyrannosaurus Rex, and he used to steal donuts with the help of a straw that was made of meat.
A big, giant meat straw.
I like it.
Yeah, we love that. It's amazing. But, you know, that was the element we could use.
Wow, yeah. That was
so hard.
That's
funny. there was one kid who came in and told us this story, and we just couldn't use his story because he ultimately didn't give us enough to create a complete story.
Mm-hmm.
But he told us this it was this idea of a wrestler, and I think his name was the Cowboy.
Yes.
I think his name was the Cowboy. And basically, so the wrestler, he would ride his horse into the arena, and he would get up to the ring, and then he would get off of the horse, he would pick the horse up, and push him through the ropes into the into the ring. Then he would climb through himself and then get back onto the horse before he started to wrestle.
Nice.
And stuff like that is amazing. You know, you're just like, oh my gosh.
That's pretty funny. I got one more other question before I move along. But as far as the show goes, have you thought about reversing it and having a story an adult tells and the kids have to act it out?
I mean, These are good ideas, Craig. We need to bring you out here to LA, man.
Have you ever produced anything before, Craig?
I try to do a podcast from doing. Yeah, actually, I've done some audio plays and stuff, but.
I mean, that's we're hoping to get a second season, and if we do, we want to explore as many possibilities as we can. You know, we can't make it too crazy because we're continuing with this first season, but we're open to exploring all the different variations that we can. I should say that.
I hear you. So, one thing I'm fascinated with, and this kind of the explosion, I know YouTube is or Google themselves have really pushed to have these channels with good quality content like Geek and Sundry, Nerdist, and right, Twit, right, and whatnot.
I love Nerdist too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nerdist is great.
Yeah. They're fantastic. And, you know, so they really push to get some of these quality shows on there. And I find myself going towards YouTube some when I'm at lunch, you know, work, instead of Hulu or something like that. What do you think about how this channel is evolving, not just Geek and Sundry, but all these other channels with good quality content? How do you think those are evolving, and where do you think they're going to go?
Well, hopefully the fact that people are watching YouTube videos instead of Hulu or sometimes TV, hopefully that is what is happening, because that is the idea. It's drawing in a TV audience to show them that there's other quality programming out there. I mean, I truly believe that every show that is offered by Geek and Sundry is very high quality. And mm-hmm. these are all really talented people with, you know, if you were to examine their projects, it's definitely worthwhile. It's definitely worth watching. So I feel like what the future has to offer is options, thousands and thousands of options. And it's really whatever you want. It's specific to you, and it's out there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. It's you can get so specific with things, and I think that's what's appealing to people. When we were at Comic-Con premiering the first episode, Scary Smash, Will Wheaton was on the panel for Geek and Sundry, and he's doing the tabletop gaming show mm-hmm. on Geek and Sundry, which has a big following. But he's also a homebrewer, which I do as well, so I'm interested in that. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about wanting to do a show that dealt specifically with homebrewing. And I was like, yeah, that would be brilliant. And I just think that it's a new wave of entertainment that is focusing on very specific areas that we just haven't had before, because mm-hmm. you can do it now, you know? And yeah. I think that's pretty exciting.
Definitely.
I think it's a branch from podcasting, because podcasting has all these little niche shows and stuff. And, you know, when you add video, then I think it's a natural progression.
I love podcasting. I've been listening to more and more podcasts, and I really feel like it is a really great way to just sort of extend the things that you are interested out into the world and gain a following that way.
Yeah.
And really, it's great, because it allows people to control their own materials. You, Craig Stepp, is that your last name?
That's right.
You get to do whatever you want to do, and nobody's telling you how to do it.
And I don't want to sound like an old codger, but I mean... The technology is amazing.
This podcast is too loud.
the fact that we can have this conversation so easily over our computers is amazing to me. And so I think we're at the beginning of an explosion that is I don't know. It's pretty exciting.
It is. I agree. And I'm sorry that you could pronounce my name and I couldn't pronounce yours.
No, that's all right. again, like I said. And I'm pretty sure it's true. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it right.
Which is really sad when you think about it.
It's pretty sad. It's, well, he's Canadian.
Well, you know, I'm not German. It's a German name, and I've never even been to Germany.
Wow.
So if any of you out in America want to start a fund to send me to Germany so I can explore my roots.
Yeah, you should set up a Tumblr with a wish list.
Yeah. But a Kickstarter.
Hey, I was going to say Kickstarter. There you go. Everybody's doing Kickstarter. It's the thing now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I have. How can we find more about you guys?
Well, you can, first of all, we want people to subscribe to Geek and Sundry on YouTube. We would love for you to do that if you're interested. And you can, of course, find the show Written by a Kid on YouTube if you just do a simple search.
And also, if you want to find it directly, you can go to writtenbyakid.geekandsundry.com. That'll take you to our latest episode, whichever one that may be. And please check out the forums. You know, we have a creativity camp that kids of all ages can join in and do. There's lots to do and see on that channel.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
All right. And once again, I want to thank Josh and Will for joining me on the show tonight. I really enjoyed talking with them. Don't forget to go and subscribe to their show on the Geek and Sundry channel. It's Written by a Kid. It's easy to find. You can just type it in. And I also speak for Chuck Tomasi when I say we do appreciate you listening to the show and participating. And if you want to participate, you can call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and even Google+. You can find links for all that over at chuckchat.com. I want to thank Mad Mar for providing some blog content. We are a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com and also a member of farpointmedia.com, where there's tons of material there. And with that, I bid you a binary high five. 101.